It's been several months now that we've been exploring and proclaiming what it means for us to be and to live in Christ, and then what that means for us to move out toward the world in mission and in love. We've heard things like this: it's in Christ that we abide. Jesus is the source of our life so that we can offer his life to others. It's in Christ that we are justified, that Jesus has done justice on our behalf and called us to follow his example of doing justice on behalf of others. It's in Christ that we are cleansed. Jesus has purified us before the Lord so that we might plunge ourselves into the dirt of the world as those who have been made clean. We are redeemed in Christ. Jesus has ransomed us from our slavery to sin and death, so that we might work to liberate others. In Christ, we are reconciled. Jesus has restored our relationship to God, and he's entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation. In Christ, we are conquerors. Jesus has given us victory and power over evil and its effects, so that we might, with the spiritual weapons of God, wage war against the powers of evil at work in the world. In Christ, we are adopted. Jesus has brought us into God's family so that we might reach out in loving embrace towards others. In Christ, we are set free. Jesus has released us from the pressures that stifle his life so that we might join him in freely dispensing grace to those who carry heavy and unnecessary burdens. This morning, we proclaim a reality that encompasses all of these things, a reality that speaks to what is at the absolute center of the entire story of the Bible, and that serves to shape and to animate our lives together as the body of Christ. Hear again these words from the Apostle Paul in Galatians. May I never boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. This is what it all boiled down to for Paul, and what we proclaim to be true for us today, that in Christ we are God's work of new creation. And I have right here an amen with a question mark, because can we say that? Can we really believe it? Knowing who we are, knowing what we are, can we receive this reality that it is us? We are God's work of new creation. That God is at work in the world making all things new is not something that's just out there and external to us. We, as the body of Christ in the world, are the location and the embodiment of God's work of new creation. So as we open ourselves up to consider and receive what I think is a weighty reality, I pray that the Lord be with you. Let's pray together. God, I'm a new dad this week, and it feels weighty to me. This little gift of new creation has been brought into our family, and it's just there. And it's ours. You've given Junia to us to love and to care for. And there's an analogy there to be made, God, that you've given us new life as your children, your sons and your daughters, as this community that together is the body of Christ, and we are a work of your new creation in this world. And so just as we lay our hearts and our minds open to you this morning, I pray you'd help us to see it, and I pray you'd help us to receive it. And more than anything, God, that you would help us to live into it. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the deal on the topic of new creation. There's kind of two ways that we can come at it. And the one in which I think we're probably maybe more familiar is the idea that as we stand in Christ, God is working to make us new, personally, individually, right? There's a new work that's going on there. and we talk about that. But there is this other level that is equally true and equally as important, and it's that as a body, as a community, there's this corporate reality that God is making a new creation out of us, out of a community of people, the body of Christ in the world. And what's actually, I think, really important for us to realize is, like, that's even maybe a little bit more foundational or fundamental to God's work, in that that's the sort of social context for God to do a work of new creation in us personally. I mean, we are and are becoming who we are and who we're becoming because of the community that we're a part of. That's how God is at work in the world. And so that's kind of where I felt compelled to take our focus today, is on what's the nature of God's new creative work in the world amongst us as a body, amongst us as a people. And as we wade into that, I want to ask you to imagine something with me, and I apologize in advance that I imagine it's going to be something that there's going to be a little bit of pain. It's going to be hard for us to imagine this, but I hope you'll stick with me, as I think it's important to kind of get open to what God might want to say this morning. Imagine that we all live in the same neighborhood, all of us. And we all send our kids to the same school. And it's a big school. Grade school, like little kids, kindergarten, all the way up through high school. They all go to this school. It's some random Wednesday morning, right? And we're all just getting to work and doing various things that we do at work, or busy with household chores or whatever we're doing. And we start to get emails or calls or texts about some sort of problem at the school. And the first thing we do is sort of treat it as a nuisance, an interruption into our lives we don't really want to pay attention to, because we're kind of on to other things. But after too long, we come to understand there's something serious that's happening. There's an unknown man who's entered the school with a gun, and he's taken students hostage. And so we begin to fear. And they leave. The assailant releases a lot of the students from the school, but he keeps a class behind. And then, even a little bit more disturbingly, the assailant releases all the boys and just keeps all the girls. And by the time all is said and done, there's 10 girls that are in this classroom together. Cops start to show up. Things are starting to happen, and there's no demands. The guy that's on the inside with the gun is not making any demands, and he's just saying he's there to punish these students. And he's speaking to them and telling them he's there to punish them. And then it escalates really quickly. He shoots all of them. Five of them die. The other five are critically injured. And I wonder, what do we do? What do we do in the midst of a situation like that? What do we feel? What do we think? What's going to become of us if that were to happen? It's us in this community. And at the very end, the gunman, he turns the gun on himself and he dies. Unfortunately, this scenario, it might not be all that far away from our imaginations. The school shootings, unfortunately, have appeared in the news from time to time. But still, between the pain involved and thinking about it and other factors, we likely don't spend, I know I don't, spend a lot of time trying to imagine a scenario like this. But that is what I'm asking of us this morning. Faced with such a tragedy, what would we think? What would we feel? What would we do? What would become of us? Given some of the details in that story, you might have already recognized it as an account of what happened at the Amish school in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, back in 2006. It's a real account. The tragic nature of that event obviously made national news, but what sustained people's interest for months and years following the event itself was the response of the Amish community. Within hours of the shooting, Amish families were visiting the gunman's family. They weren't in search of answers, or they weren't there to express outrage. They were there to extend forgiveness and to inquire as to what they might be able to do to help them. They attended the gunman's funeral and wept with his family. Following the shooting, far from filing any lawsuits that we might expect or that are incredibly common, as millions of dollars actually poured in support of the Amish community, what the Amish community did was that they decided to set aside a significant portion of that to assist the gunman's family, and especially his children. And I wonder, can I imagine responding like this? What would it take? What would have to be the case for us to respond like this? I submit that this display of amazing grace on the part of this Amish community to embody what it means to be a community of forgiveness, to take seriously Jesus' call to love our enemies, is a striking example of the reality that we proclaim this morning, that in Christ, we are God's work of new creation. An Amish community like this can respond in the way that they did, in a way that's come so antithetical to the ways of the world, because they had been made new. Christ had made them a new people, a new work of creation. And as those who live in Christ with one another for God's mission in the world, we are that particular community that has unique access to the resources of God, which make it possible, even in the face of unimaginable pain, to extend forgiveness, to absorb violence, to return evil with good, to rejoice in the face of persecution, and to love our enemies. This is Jesus. And this is who we are as those who live in Christ, being this community, which we do by the power of the Holy Spirit and not our own, is the evidence of God's presence and work in the world. I love this line by John Howard Yoder. I'm going to edit it just slightly so that it makes a little bit more sense in terms of what we're talking about here. The new creation that God brings into the world is a community of those who serve instead of ruling, who suffer instead of inflicting suffering, whose fellowship crosses social lines rather than reinforcing them. The new Christian community in which the walls of division and hostility are broken down by the work of Christ is not only a vehicle of the gospel or only a fruit of the gospel, it is the good news. It is the good news. As followers of Jesus, we proclaim that the good news that God is at work in the world, making all things new. But more than that, in Christ, we are the work of God's new creation. To the extent that we live in the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are God's work of new creation. It's one thing to affirm that as a theological reality. It's very different to ask how it happens and what it might mean, right? It's different. We don't just wake up and discover that inexplicably we've become the kind of people whose natural inclination is to forgive those who harm us or to love our enemies. I mean, save from the special grace of God in our lives, nobody is going to wake up tomorrow and go, I just feel like loving my enemies. It's not how it works. Nor should we assume that such a posture is ever easy or completely free of being inwardly conflicted. Even Jesus in the garden prays, Father, this cup can pass from me. Right? Becoming this kind of person, becoming this kind of community, doesn't mean that we do so without being conflicted. It just means we keep following. And Paul speaks to this how of God's work of new creation in the Galatian passage we're considering. He says this, may I never boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world crucified to us and us to the world. This, says Paul, is what opens up space for God's work of new creation to break forth. We are redeemed, we are reconciled, we are set free, we are not held captive any longer to the powers of sin and death, to the powers of evil and darkness at work in the world. They are dead to us, we are dead to them, and freed to live in Christ. This is what Christ did, but it is also the posture we adopt when we seek to live in Christ. We live as though the ways of the world are dead to us and we to them. Or in other words, new creation is a resurrectional reality. but it always comes on the other side of sacrifice. New creation breaks forth when we make space for it, but it's on the other side of sacrifice. So let me ask. I think this is important for us to do as a community, to just name it and give God praise for it. Where have we seen God's work of new creation break forth in our community? Can we just think about that for a second and actually respond together? Where, when, and how have we seen people in our community make sacrifices for the sake of opening up space for God to work? These are really good stories. These are really important stories for us to keep in front of us to acknowledge God is at work amongst us, doing a work of new creation. And it's where I think it's reflected in Paul's view that it wasn't so much that Jesus didn't die so that we didn't have to. Jesus didn't die so that we wouldn't have to, but rather Jesus died so that those who would join him in death would be able to know and receive his resurrected life. He went to show us the way, not to do something so that we didn't. I mean, he takes our place in a way that we could never join him, right? He's unique. That's not what I'm saying. Right? But Jesus says, this is the way. Follow me here that you might know and receive the resurrected life. Jesus was the first fruits of new creation, which is why, as we seek to live in Christ, we become God's work of new creation. We're joined to Christ, who is the first fruits. It's precisely what Paul was trying to help the church in Galatia see. Amid the battles that were being waged over circumcision and uncircumcision, Paul says, no, you guys don't get it. Life in Christ, it's not about following ethnic conventions. Neither is it about just throwing them off. Life in Christ for Paul is about God's work of new creation through Christ. It's something outside of us that breaks forth into our midst as we open ourselves to it to receive. It is an authority and a power and a work that comes from outside of us, but it comes among us and flourishes as we seek to live in Christ. In this passage that we're looking at in Galatians 6, it's a repeat of something Paul says earlier in Galatians 5, almost word for word, but he changes something interesting at the end. In Galatians 5, he says, "For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." How does God's work of new creation unfold in and through us? Paul says, faith expressing itself through love. In Christ, we are God's work of new creation as our faith expresses itself through love. And we're not without example here, right? We look to Jesus, who in resurrection faith expressed his love, even his love for enemies, in going to the cross where worldly powers were crucified to him and he to them. This is really the marvel of the cross, that in conspiring and all the powers and all the forces that conspired to murder Jesus as the Son of God, at the cross, it's those forces that have been unmasked, stripped of the guise of having any sort of true power or authority over us, as God brings forth new life in the resurrection of Christ. And we join him there. We join him there in that resurrected life. As I was reading up on these shootings at Nickel Creek, I came across a part of the Nickel Mines, Nickel Creek. I came across a part of the story that I hadn't heard before. At one point, the gunman, he turned to the 10 girls that he'd taken hostage. And there was another girl, without hesitation, this 13-year-old girl. Her name was Marion. It's kind of where we, kind of confirmation of that name anyways, that we chose for Junia. 13-year-old girl stands up and says, just shoot me. Whatever you got to do, just shoot me. Hoping that she could save the rest of the students, right? To protect them, to save them. This is God's work of new creation, born into existence by faith expressing itself through love. Another way to say it is that the nature of God's new creation is missional. The new reality that God is creating in and among us, it carries us out into the world for mission. It's not just something that we enjoy in here. It is something that propels us forward towards people, towards this world that's broken and hurting, even as much as we invite them in to know who God is and what God is doing in our midst. The means by which God desires to manifest and extend his kingdom and his salvation to the ends of the earth is through the witness of the body of Christ as a sign and an instrument and a foretaste of the new creation that will finally and fully come when Christ returns. I want to just say a quick word on each of these things about a sign, an instrument, and a foretaste, and how they might translate into our lives as we think about the connection between who we are, how we live in Christ as his new creation people, and how it moves us towards others. And it's this idea that we move towards others. Christ compels us. Faith expressing itself in love moves us towards others, even as we say to others, would you know it? Would you come see it? Would you, as we invite people into our lives, in our homes, at coffee shops, over meals, when we gather to worship, that where God carries us out amongst people, amongst brokenness, and we are a sign and an instrument and a foretaste of the coming kingdom, and we are taking it upon ourselves to invite people. Would you come? Would you know? Would you listen? Would you hear? And we gain that audience. We gain by actually looking at people, looking at their lives and asking questions. Because everybody is a sign of something. Everybody is an instrument of something. Everybody is a foretaste of something. And so think about your family, your friends, the people in your lives. And what if we asked ourselves these questions as we find ourselves in the spaces of home and work and parks and wherever we are? We looked at people and asked these questions in our head. What's this person a sign of? What do I see in them? What's this person an instrument of? What are they about? What are they doing? Why are they doing it? What are they a foretaste of? What's coming for them? What kind of future do they envision? And then begin to ask questions. See this in your life. Can you tell me about that? I see this. And we open up space. We open up space for these conversations to happen. And pray. Maybe at some point they'll see something in me and they'll want to know. Am I a sign of something? Am I an instrument of something? Am I a foretaste of something? We can't force that upon people. We just got to open up space and let God talk and let God move and let people see what's going on in our midst. So here, just some questions for us to consider in terms of, in Christ, we are God's work of new creation. We ask ourselves the question, what's that mean for us in mission? How does that carry us out? Here are three questions. How might our life together signify, be a sign of new creation in Christ? How might our life together, how might that be a sign of the new life in Christ? And how can we help people see it, be point towards Christ in the midst of it? How might our life be used as an instrument of the new creation in Christ? What sacrifices might God be calling us to make, personally, corporately, so that we might be used by God for his purposes in the world? We've got to ask ourselves this question. And this last one, how might our life provide others with a taste of the new creation that is available in Christ? How can we be a foretaste of that? And gang, what I want to sort of submit to you here as we go to respond and pray, that what makes us truly unique, what sets the body of Christ apart from any other entity that this world knows, is whatever good anybody, any other group, any other person might want to do, we do it to enemies. Because we stand in Christ, and Christ went to the cross for enemies. And so we are the people who, when wronged, can still love, who, when victimized, can still move towards our oppressors. Whatever anyone else might be able to do good, where we might see good happening in the world, we do it all. But what makes us unique, what sets us apart, what's really the matter, like, the new creation is that we're free to love our enemies, those who would wrong us, those who would harm us. There is no division. So here's here's our question for us to ponder, or sorry, a statement for us to respond to. For Paul, God's new creation manifests itself in and among us as we allow our faith to express itself in love. So I'm wondering if we can respond along these lines. Father, as your work of new creation, help us express our faith in love by. Maybe you need to answer that personally. Maybe you want to speak into that corporately for us as the body of Christ. And we'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and we'll all respond with, amen. Let's pray together.